1 Samuel 21, I think you have it by now, and verse number 10. I'd like to speak to you on this theme tonight, the true you. The true you. 1 Samuel 21, verse 10, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul. That's an important statement in this verse. Fear of Saul. Who are we supposed to fear? God. Not Saul. Not anybody with skin on. Just God. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. But David, unfortunately, like us, he feared man. And went to Achish, the king of Gath. So he's joining the other team. I mean, you know, here he's fighting for Israel and defeated Goliath, and now he's going to join the other team? And the servants of Achish said unto him, now, isn't this something? Read the Bible, read it slowly. Picture this. Here comes the giant slayer to the enemy side to join them. And the servants of Achish said to him, they're scratching their head like I am, right? Is not this David the king of the land? What's going on here? Did they not sing one to another of him and dance the same? I mean, they had even heard about David's theme song. You know? Wow. Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. I almost broke out into a cheer there. And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish. So he's afraid of Saul, and he's afraid of Achish. Wow. The king of Gath. So let's see what happened because of fear. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands. Now, that's not mad as in angry. Okay? This is like he's going to act like he's insane, or he's a lunatic of some kind. Okay? And scrabbled on the doors of the gate. It means he made noise with his fingers, right? Good thing I don't have fingernails, and good thing there's no chalkboard here. And everybody understands what that does, right? I mean, you can probably feel it right now, I'm not even doing it. So he scrabbled on the doors at the gate. And I'm not going to do this, but let his spittle fall down upon his beard. I mean, wow! This is David the giant slayer?
Yes.
Yes. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, ye see the man is mad. He's crazy. That's in the Hebrew there. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? What do I need with a madman? Have I need of madmen? Have I need of madmen? That ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? I'm not letting this bubbling, babbling, spittle, scraping on the wall door. He's not coming into my house. We're not talking about King Achish. We're not talking about King Saul. But we're going to look at the true you today. And have your Bibles open and let's see what God teaches. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. And thank you for illustrations in the Bible, biblical principles in the Bible. Many of them we can take and say, this is what I want to do. And there's others that we can take and say, this is what I don't want to do. But you've given us everything that we need to function in the Christian life in your word. And so help us to apply it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you've heard of the story written years ago of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. How many of you know Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? How many of you have never heard of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? It's okay if you haven't heard of it. Okay, all right? That's what I'm going to tell you just a little bit about it. Basically, it's about a man who has two personalities. There were times when he was very kind, very gentle, and it's a fiction book. And then there were times when he was more like a madman. Kind of like what we just read about King David tonight. And so that's kind of the thinking here, that a dual personality, or acting two different ways, two different times. And we can look at David here, and we can begin to kind of look at that and say, no, what's going on there? We're going to try to bring some application from it. And you know, that's a fictional book, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. But I believe if we take a couple of steps back, we can realize that there's many times in our life, and many times in churches, just like Anchor Baptist Church, where we have people like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. What do we mean by that? In other words, there can be a smile on our face, and there can be a seeming everything's all right in our countenance, but really, you know, or it could be that we have the church look, and then we have the Monday to Friday look. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. You know, we know how to look at church. And I'm not saying necessarily wearing a shirt and tie. I'm talking about that. But we know how to look and act at church. But then, you know, Monday rolls around and it's like nothing even happened on Sunday because we're this totally different person. And it can happen. It can happen to the pastor. It can happen to you. It can happen to any of us. But we want to avoid that. You know, Jesus challenged about this particular thing in a way in Matthew 23:27. If you'd like to turn over there, we're going to come back to 1 Samuel 21. But in Matthew 23:37, he gives a challenge about this, and he says there it's a strong rebuke, quite frankly. Matthew 23:27. It's one of those woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And I understand these aren't believers. These are the religious crowd. For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear what? Beautiful. You appear beautiful. I mean, you've got it all. You've got it all together. On the outside. Outward. But are within, full of dead men's bones. And dead men's bones, they stink. And of all uncleanness. And the outside looks really good, but the inside is a mess. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You know, what we want to accomplish is, we want to realize, we want to come to something tonight that we recognize that we want to be true. We want to be true inside and outside. We want to be biblical, quote unquote, at church, but we want to also live it in our life. And you know what? Because here's what's going to eventually happen. Eventually, the spiritual facade is going to be tossed. And the true you is going to come out. Eventually, the spiritual facade is going to be cast aside, and we're never going to darken the door of a church again. Because it wasn't genuine. It wasn't real. So from our text, we see that David goes through several transformations. And I'm going to say this. David became someone he was not. I mean, this was not David. This was not the David that we know. You know, that he got a stone, and one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round and round and round and round, round, round. The giant came tumbling down. You know that song? This isn't David. This isn't the man after God's own heart. This is someone who let something come into his life and change him. And not for the good. 1 Samuel 21 gives us some details here about this visit to Achish, the king of Gath, and possibly some insight as to why we change. So I hope we're going to give just several observations quickly. Number one, because of fear, David became another man. We kind of said that already. We see that in verse number 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul. What started this whole downward spiral was David feared Saul. Now again, put ourselves in David's sandals, and we might do the same thing. You know, David's life was being threatened. I'm not saying that, you know, that shouldn't have caused maybe a little bit of discomfort. I've never had anybody threaten my life like Saul threatened David's life. But that wasn't the way to respond. And so again, because again, thinking about David's resume, we said it already, this is the man who would slay the lion. The man who was 9 feet tall. God gave him exactly what he needed to defeat Goliath. Who was Saul compared to Goliath? in stature or in physique. David, this is the man who wrote, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Psalm 23, verse 4. You see, fear is a crippling device. God never gave you or me the spirit of fear. So if God didn't give us the spirit of fear, who did? Our enemy. Okay? We have two. We have God and we have our enemy. We have our God, we have our enemy. And the battle is real and it's raging. So if God doesn't give me the spirit of fear, then it must come from the enemy, and that is true. But the Bible says in verse 31 of Romans 8, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Fear. Satan uses fear. I don't know if I want to be a witness to someone. Satan's using fear. If the Holy Spirit is challenging you and challenging me to stand for Jesus, and I mean, interesting that he picked songs on being a soldier. He had no idea the passage I was going to use tonight. And here we sang about David the soldier and being a soldier for the Lord. And you know what? As a soldier, fear must be set aside. We must say, God, give me the courage. God, give me the courage to be a genuine believer and not allow fear to change me. Fear caused David to become another man. Remember what Elijah did when Jezebel threatened him. The great prophet Elijah. And Jezebel said, "You're going to be just like those false prophets of Baal by tomorrow." Elijah got scared. And Elijah ran. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, what we were quoting a moment ago, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Look, there are some genuine things that bring fear in the life of a believer. Genuine things. I'm talking about everyday life. When someone gets sick in our family, and I'm not talking about maybe just a cold, and I'm not saying if you have a cold, then I'm not making fun of you, but you know, a little bit more than a cold, you know what? Something comes over a parent. What's wrong? We had a little accident here on Sunday night. Glad Kyle's doing good. Doing all right. But that's fearful. That's very, the emotions kick in. Hey, a job problem. That can be fearful. Yeah, I saw you kind of pop up. Just took out spot. Hey, not being accepted by the in crowd, whoever the in crowd are. That can bring fear at times in our life. No, so fear is, in a sense, can be a natural thing. But these things that come into our life, that God allowed to come into our life, think about it. God never took a holiday. So whatever's come into your life, in my life, it was for a purpose. Saul, think about King Saul, the witch of Endor, 1 Samuel 28:7. 1 Samuel 28:7, "Then sent Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath the familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said, Behold, there is a woman that hath the familiar spirit at Endor." 1 Samuel 28:7. It was fear that led Saul to do this. See, David thought Saul was going to kill him, so there was some unknown there. Would you not agree with me tonight that the unknown can bring a sense of fear? The unknown can bring a sense of fear. We have to know. No, the fear of the unknown, jot this or think about this statement. Fear of the unknown can turn me into something I am not. If I dwell on the unknown, my mind can take me all over the place. That's why I should meditate in this book day and night. Because what? Why? This is known. This is not a fairy tale. This is proven. This is tried. This is an anchor. This is a great foundation. Name whatever you want to name. Here's where I need to be, because the fear of the unknown can cause me to do things that I shouldn't do. The fear of the unknown can cause me to say things, and so forth and so on. So, number one, David became another man because of fear. Secondly, and we've kind of touched on it in verse 13, because of fear, David changed his behavior. 21 and 13. We kind of read that earlier. It says, and he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Look, when we get away from God, think about this, when we get away from God, we begin to change. What changes? Our behavior. When this book is closed regularly, that's the beginning, in my humble opinion, and I believe it is a humble opinion, I'm not just saying that, the downward slide in behavioral change in a believer is when this book stops being opened and read and sought, seeking God's help. As soon as this book closes, it's the beginning. Normally what happens is prayer and Bible reading stop. Shortly thereafter, then we can sense that, well, is church really that important? You know, I'm sure I could cut out a little bit of church and it'll be okay. What's happening here is that we are getting away from God, and so the things that are pleasing to God are not, we're not concerned about it anymore. We don't really care about them anymore. And when we get away from God, we will change. You see, I wrote this down. It becomes a slow, but it becomes a quick downhill slide, if that's possible. I think of Peter. Now, praise God for his mercy. Praise God for forgiveness. Amen. I mean, I'm not here tonight to just tell everybody, hey, if you're away from God, there's no hope for you. No, the point is, let's get to the real us tonight. Let's see if there's an area of your life tonight or my life tonight that's changed over the last few months that needs to get back to what it once was. Peter's a prime example. Peter got away from God. Peter denied the Lord. Peter denied he knew his friends. Peter cursed. He swore. He forsook the right. He quit the ministry. Others went with him. I mean, good gracious. What an extreme. But we always look at the extreme. But if we will look at where it began, it always begins with something small. And I want to challenge myself. Not I want to change my behavior, but because of fear, David changed his behavior. Here's a thought. It won't be long, and there will be no acting in the Christian life. It will just come natural. See, the devil loves believers that just act like they're saved, but don't have that fervency about them. And I, you know what? I am not pointing at anybody. I'm saying, pastor, I don't want to act like a pastor. I want to act fervent in the things of the Lord. I don't want to just put on a show. But you know what? That only lasts for a while. I'm talking about, you know, coming to church, singing like a robot, and listening to the preacher like a robot, and nothing is happening, and then just going home and just doing that over and over again. And eventually, it becomes not an act, it becomes natural. In other words, like we were saying earlier, not reading the Bible seems normal. You know what? If you miss a day in the Bible right now, probably it bothers you. Or maybe you don't spend the time in the Bible in one day like you know you should have. It bothers you. I hope it bothers you. I hope it bothers me maybe when I don't have enough time that I should have in the Word of God. Or whatever the thing is in your life. But you know the danger is when we don't read the Bible for a week and it doesn't even bother us. It's very dangerous. Either somebody's not truly saved or somebody's starting to get to where it's natural to not read, but normal. For us, I think tonight, for most all of us here tonight, I hope that for not reading the Bible, that's not normal. Why? Because it's our spiritual food. To not eat is not normal. If somebody hasn't eaten for a few days, unless they're fasting for something, we might say, what's wrong with you? When I heard that Kyle had ate food the next day, eaten some food the next day, you know what everybody thinks? Okay, that's good. That's a good sign. When we don't read the Bible for a week, and there's not something inside of us that's, or a day or whatever, I'm just saying, if we're not careful, it can become, not reading God's word can be normal. Our behavior can change. We become rebellious against God. We become rebellious against the word of God. Because of fear, David changed his behavior. What is it tonight that maybe is in your life that's causing you to change behavior? Let's turn quickly to Acts 7. Acts 7. Here's a group of people. I don't believe they were saved, but they didn't want anything to do with the truth. Acts 7:57. Because of fear, David became another man. This was not the king. This is not how the king should act. Number two, because of it, he changed his behavior. Notice what it says in Acts 7:57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Stephen had been preaching. And it got so bad, they held their hands over their ears, or they plugged their ears, or whatever they could do. They didn't want to hear any more of the Word of God. And I'm not saying that we're like that, that hopefully you're going to trample me later tonight. But I'm just saying that while you don't put your fingers in your ears, you know what? You can sit in a church service Sunday morning, well, hopefully Sunday evening, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you can have your ears closed every time. And it doesn't matter if Billy Sunday was here preaching, or Charles Spurgeon, or even the Apostle Paul, or in some cases, the Lord Jesus Christ were to be preaching. Look, this is Stephen, a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, who was preaching, thus saith the Lord, and they said, I don't want to hear it. You see, this is the danger of getting away from God. That even sitting in church, and you say, has it ever happened? Too many times? Too many times in 18 years, and that's just 18 years. I'm just talking about one little old Anchor Baptist Church where there's people that sat in these seats, like these seats, that tonight, that to my knowledge, don't even hear the Word of God anymore and want nothing to do with it. And you know what? That's sad. And I'm not being critical of anybody. I'm just saying it's the real us. And I think this is where it's important to check your salvation. Are you saved? Again, I'm not trying to talk you out of anything, but are you saved? If you are saved and you are walking away from God, it's going to hurt. You can't walk away from God being saved and not feel it. The Holy Spirit of God is going to chasten you. You're going to feel it. So, he changed his behavior. I wonder tonight, are we starting to get to the place where we have our fingers in our ears? Two more things quickly. He changed his appearance. We talked about that. 21:13. He changed his behavior. He changed his appearance. He did not look like a mighty soldier in the army of the Lord with spittle running down his beard. You come up with your own imagination on that one. How many of you know what a chameleon is? Chameleon. Yeah, they're a lizard, right? They can adapt to the what? The color, the environment, whatever the color is. It's a great defense mechanism that God has given them. You know, you think about that. Unfortunately, though, if we think about chameleon Christians and how quickly we can change our colors to the setting that we're around, you know what? God doesn't need soldiers who change their color to the setting they're around. He needs soldiers that stand out in the setting that we're around. I'm talking about when something maybe is being discussed around us and it's not something that is Christ-honoring, that we should be willing to not just be a chameleon and blend in and go along with whatever it is, that we with some compassion and boldness stand out. Not change our appearance to fit in. David changed his appearance to protect himself, didn't he? That's what he did here. to save his skin. Look, we need some believers, and I know we're not talking about the setting here, but I think there's application that can be made. And in 2019 and in 2020, God tarries is coming. And there's coming a day, if not very soon, that we're going to have to be at a point where we say, you know what? I'm not changing for anyone. In other words, I'm not saying for God, of course, but I'm not changing my stand on the Bible. There are many Christians today who are blending in. They're chameleon. They're blending into society. How a church can ordain a homosexual woman, or a woman, or a homosexual woman, and have lesbian preachers. I mean, think about that. Think about just somebody going against the Bible and being a lesbian, and then a church saying, you can be our pastor. That's just upside down, backwards, whatever. But as much as we look at that and say, that's just off the wall, wait a minute, what about us? I'm not saying that we cave in on things like that, but what about us when we blend in? When we need to be salt? When we need to be light in this old world that we live in? Well, David blended in, changed his behavior. Do you have spittle running down your face tonight? I just wiped mine off. David feared what man might do to him, so he changed the way he looked. I don't want to look the same from the world. I don't want to talk like the world, do things like the world. I want to be different. I don't have to be a weirdo for God. I'm going to be peculiar if I'm following the Bible. If you're following the Bible, we're going to be peculiar. It's just going to happen. Last thing. He became another man. He changed his behavior. He changed his appearance. And lastly, verse 10, he changed his whereabouts. He changed his whereabouts. David, where are you going? You know, if this is the victory side over here, this is Israel over here. This is the, I mean, you remember the battlefield? Who are you? You know, I'm gonna feed you to the dogs. And David says, yeah, you come to me with a sword and a spear, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Down went Goliath, off went his head. What a great victory! David's going over here. He's going over here to the enemy's side, sorry. You guys have this. He's over here to the enemy's side. There's someone over there I don't want to forget. No, this is the enemy's side. And he says, I want to be on your team. What are you doing? And you know what? All of what we're talking about here tonight, this is the end result. I know it's verse 10, but it's kind of a little bit out of order in the text. But for me, in the way I was thinking about this, this is the end result of all of this stuff that we've been talking about. That literally someone could be brought up in church and then go at some point right back to the world. And say, here I come, world. To me, that's the picture that I get from this. That's the application that I get from this. David, the king, the great shepherd boy, and now he's going to the other team. Wow, what are you doing here? I mean, isn't it amazing that even the other team said, "What are you doing here?" Hey, I'm telling you, the world knows more about Christians than you think. They watch you. They watch me. And that we're not doing what we do for the world. We're doing what we do for the Lord. But our testimony is powerful in how we conduct ourselves. And for us to go back into the world, David to go over to the king of Achish here in verse number 10, went to Achish, the king of Gath. Who was from Gath? Remember? Goliath was from Gath. It's the same nation that he wiped out the big guy. Now he's wanting to join forces with him. Wow. What are you doing? The Bible says, and you know the verse, 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Wow. When we leave the will of God, it's amazing where we can end up. Peter left the ministry and went back to his old job. And again, praise God for his forgiveness. Jonah went from the Lord's presence. We heard a great Sunday school lesson about that upstairs on the Lord's day. Jonah went from the Lord's presence to Joppa. Look, when we get away from God, we'll go almost anywhere that we shouldn't be. Just as David ended up in the camp of the enemy, so can the child of God end up in the camp of the enemy. You know, can you see Peter? He's warming his hands by the fire. He's in the enemy's camp, basically. Hey, I seen you. No, he didn't see me. Wait a minute now, you're talking like one of them too. Your speech, it sure sounds like one of them. No. It's amazing what can happen. How about the prodigal son? Leaves his father and ends up eating basically. Conclusion. So just exactly who is the true Peter? Look, we can only put on a facade for a limited amount of time. And I'm not saying somebody here is putting on a facade. I'm just saying, let's examine ourselves. Are we Dr. Jekyll? Or are we Mr. Hyde? What does it cause me to change my behavior? Would fear cause me to change my behavior? You see, this is why peer pressure is so strong. But many times, that's why we give in, because of the fear of man becomes a snare. What's a snare? But if you fear God and keep His commandments, then you're happy, you're joyful, you're blessed. Would we change our speech if the crowd around us, you think the crowd around us wouldn't appreciate what we say? Would we change the direction we're going? My heart in the matter is this, is that for we adults, older adults here tonight, sorry if I've lumped you in with the word old, but we older adults tonight, I'm concerned about you too, but I'm more concerned about the next generation. More concerned about the 25-year-olds and under, the 30-year-olds and under. I'm concerned about everybody, don't get me wrong. But I'm concerned about that generation that is, you know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Can sing in the choir, can sing the songs, can sing and do everything, but in the end there's something inside of them that hasn't either been reborn yet, or the fear of the world, the fear of peer pressure, or whatever it may be, is overrunning them. Dr. Jeffries tonight. So pray with me. The real me. Let's be real. You know what? If you're struggling with something, get somebody to pray with you. It's not weak to go to someone and say, you don't have to spill everything. You know what? Pray for me. I got an area in my life that you may not even want to have to tell them, but just say, brother, would you pray with me? Sister, would you pray with me? Maybe even tonight, if you're praying with your husband or wife, you know, let's be real. This is the King of Israel. Look what he did. Believe me, if David can do it, so can I. And I don't want to follow this part of David.